You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonation might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. DJ Impact Hoop here. Sin City Steve and Rob Mossoleri. Welcome everyone to Wrestling Talk. We got all of our topics for today, and we welcome you to join us. If you have access to the comment box, please throw them in the chat. Live always on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook Live. 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Times on Sunday. Whenever you can join us, please do so. All right, fellas. Look like we got a lot of wrestling to get into. So let's just get right into it for Too Sweet for the Week. Sin City Steve, man, what you got?
All right. So let's just get this one right out there, right up front. Too sweet to that French crowd that elevated the Backlash event.
Absolutely. Très bien.
Yeah. I have to start off talking about everything by talking about the crowd. Yeah. Just because, quite honestly, they took a good show and almost single-handedly bumped it up a couple notches as far as watching it. You know, it olé, really goes to show.
Olé.
Dude. It was crazy. Now, mind you, I saw some stuff online, believe it or not. I saw some criticisms saying that they were actually a bit too over the top, which, you know, I see
but
the
but even but if that's the case, it's not like that. Well, even if that's the case, it's not
the first. It's the first PLE ever in the history of that country.
And even if that's the case, it's not as if that's something that WWE did, right, in terms of them telling them to act in that way. I mean, you can't, right. I mean, it's organic the way that the fans were acting.
Oh, so absolutely.
Hey, they wanted to have fun, you know, and if anything, and I would say if, and this goes for all promotions, it don't matter if it's TNA, AEW, if fans would get like that at every show, you probably would have an amazing time.
Yeah, no shit. Because the thing is that message that it sends to the viewer watching it at home is, hey, these people are having fun. Don't you want to go to see this show live and have fun with all of these other people as well?
Exactly. Well, I'd have to learn the language.
Well, so.
I mean, yeah, sure. Just get me like a book and like Muzzy. Remember Muzzy? Yeah. You know, call me in a
year. Take some Rosetta Stone French.
Yeah. Babble. Yeah. No big deal.
Yeah.
But it shows because also what it does to the talent too. When the talent hears that hype, I think it makes them even want to go from 100 to 1,000% in the ring as well.
What really stood out to me too with the crowd, and then I'll move on to my next thing that I was going to bring up, but is that it took a French crowd to sing the English lyrics to Kingdom.
That is
think
true.
About that. Think about that. That song has not been sung by crowds on any kind of a major scale until they went to another country. That was just something that stood out to me that just goes to show that wrestling is universal, legitimately.
Yep. Absolutely.
And also, speaking of that show, Cody and AJ for the Undisputed WWE title is a sentence that I never would have said under a previous era, but thank God that previous era is dead and buried.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dude, those guys went out and they proved that they could definitely main event a pay-per-view, a premium live event. And obviously Cody picked up the win, but it was a solid match. Again, aided by that crowd.
Yep.
Extremely solid stuff there. And then just shifting gears, we actually got a Kenny Omega promo on Dynamite. And yeah, then he ended up getting laid out afterwards. I will say, though, Kenny seemed to be more relaxed. He seemed to be more genuine when delivering the promo. It didn't come off as, you know, over the top, hokey, rehearsed, fake. And of course, you know, you had Okada come out. They stand face to face. They play up on their history and they plant that seed. AEW actually planting storyline seeds for the future that we're probably going to see these guys go at it one more time at Wembley Stadium.
Don't get our hopes up.
I know. But if nothing else, they at least planted that seed for that. And, you know, the Kenny obviously got laid out and then flipped off the stretcher on Rampage, the whole deal. The main reason why all this stuff was done is because Kenny Omega is getting the surgery. So this is the way to write him off of TV and give a storyline basis for that. And, you know, it makes sense. You have Jack Perry hitting him in the gut with the chair right after he says that any major blunt force trauma to the stomach could kill him. So,
by the way, guys, right here, right down there, you see, if you put, hold on, let me put an X on it.
A target.
There you go.
But yeah, that was awesome, man. Too sweet.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Rob, what you got, man? What was too sweet for you?
The Kenny Omega, let's get that out of the way. The Kenny Omega stuff was incredible. He was, I don't know if he was crying or not. They go both for the water, you know, the water.
Yeah.
Huh? And that boring that their mouths are dry. He was,
I just finished with like a 5-minute diatribe. Yes.
Kenny Omega really had me sold on his monologue there. I wasn't sure if the aviators were holding back tears the way he was doing the glasses. That was the first thing I selfishly looked like, are those eyes bloodshot from crying? Was that a real, was that a work, or was he really selling the emotion there? I'm going to say I believe it.
Yeah.
I want to believe it. I want to believe that was coming from the gut. But it was Okada telling him, hey, you know, I'm the guy now. I'm the fine with his limited English. Fine. Jack Perry, all of that was fine. I like that he brought back the EVP. I'm an EVP too. That was important because now we've got that balance of power. So it's going to be him and Tony Khan versus those two guys behind stage and him on his own. Now he's got, you know, he's got the freaking FTR in his corner. This will be interesting. Backlash sucks. It always sucks. It's garbage. This was not that backlash. This was freaking good. The Jade Cargill match with Bianca Belair was not good for those two. It was good for the fact that the Kabuki Warriors put on a hell of a match, and it definitely looks like both of them are injured. I never noticed that Asuka had the knee brace. I didn't pay attention to that until now. And Kairi Sane with the leg wrap on there. These women were fighting injured. They were doing just incredible tag team work on both sides. That match was fucking incredible.
I was a little bit taken back when it seemed like they had did that new finisher on Kairi Sane, and it was broken up in a three. And I was like, I didn't think that should have happened. I mean, that finisher's pretty dope, and you're still building them as that tough team. It should have ended right there. But then they had to do their finisher, which, of course, now they broke out of, you know. And then, you know, finishers used to be a time that, you know.
It was a finisher.
Right. So I was a little bit thrown off as to why that.
Think about it like this. But,
you know,
sure. Watch an NJPW match. How many finishers do those sons of bitches string together? They'll do like five of any one guy's finishers, one right after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. So, you know.
Yeah,
a famouser isn't even a finisher in NJPW, so it's not surprising that we're getting away from that. That's the whole thing. If we water the finisher down just a little bit, not even water it down, but use it as a spot rather than a finisher, you make these people look like gods. You're making those four women in that ring look like gods because it wasn't a squash match. That's what I was afraid of. I was afraid of, oh, it's going to be a squash match. It wasn't.
Yeah, what else you got?
Tomatonga Toaleona coming in there on what looked like it was supposed to be a squash match. Anytime you see Randy Orton, my first thought is, oh, it's going to be a squash match. Fucking Randy Orton. Randy Orton's like the smallest of the Attitude Era guys, and now he's like, he still is the smallest of the Attitude Era guys, and now it's just like, this is what steroids get you. Yeah, it's like,
hey, stop it.
Hey, look, every single one of those fuckers in that ring had like rolls, like, you know, it's Solo Sikoa, fucking Solo Sorolo versus Kevin, that's your name coming off, you know. But okay, it's a different time, it's a different breed. And again, what do we get? A great match. We're getting more of Haku's boys. I'm excited. They sell it. I like Nick Aldis running down in the early and going, hey, this is what you want. Yep. He's got the crowd hyped up, throwing the French phrases in there here and there. The crowd getting a little bit too rowdy. The only thing was they were getting French rowdy. In other words, they were singing songs and doing shit that I couldn't follow with, which, and they didn't do the ole, ole, ole. I was joking. They did everything but that. They were
no shit.
Came up to shit I had never heard. And the only thing I wanted Michael Cole to go, this is what they're saying. Or go to the French announce team and go, what the fuck are they saying? Have that moment where you're trying to acknowledge the crowd, because they just ignored the crowd the entire night. That was bad on their part. They should have been sharing in the action.
I mean, they did acknowledge how loud it was and how
exciting. Yeah, but I'm talking about, well, these guys are saying this. No, this is what they're saying. This is what they're.
Listen, yeah. I caught on when they were doing This Is Awesome. I'm like, oh, I know that one right there.
But but even then it was a weird this is awesome. I'm like, what, no, this is awesome. This is awesome. Like, stop it. Christ sakes.
All right.
It's like you're saying it with mayonnaise in your mouth.
Let's get to our next one. Where's the love? So I'll start this one with you, Rob. Is there anybody this past week that you're like, man, this person needs that love?
Remember when Brian Cage was like the most feared fucking guy and he won matches and you shit your pants when you saw him in the ring, and now you just go 5 minutes, you know? Wow. He is the new EC3. Damn. He is the new EC3, you know?
Yeah.
And then what do? The booking is terrible. You put him up against guys that are a head taller than him. Now, we've seen him in person. He's probably got 5 inches in all of us, and we're all 5'7", 5'8". So we're talking about a guy 5'11", 6 feet. And you're like, oh, it's not that tall when you're going up against Claudio Castagnoli. And Claudio Castagnoli is doing these ridiculous uppercuts from his gut all the way. Like, he's winding up slow. He's giving him the spin in the ring for 30 freaking cycles. Like, why is this guy a jobber? Why? Yeah. And isn't he supposed to be with Prince Nana? Where the fuck is Prince Nana? Where's Toleone? Where the fuck?
Oh my God.
Well, he got smothered, he rage quit.
Yeah. By the way, he just fell off our stream, guys. Rob. Oh, here we go. He's back. You know,
all right.
I bet it was Prince Nana that knocked you off. I'm pretty sure.
My computer really like biased and racist, because like I'm so now it's like, oh, I have to get the Matt Michaels treatment. This is fucking bullshit. My family came by. I'm showing my niece the computer on how to build it, and it crashed, and her mom looks and goes, my sister goes, is that supposed to do that? I'm like, no, it's not. Last 3 weeks. No, it's where is the Mogul Embassy behind him?
Yeah.
You're supposed to be bringing this guy up. I want him to get the freaking full Prince Nana treatment. I'm not getting anybody in his corner. And he went from your AEW to your Ring of Honor, and we'll bring you up when we need to get you squashed. You're back on AEW, but we're still going to use you to squash you. What the bloody hell is going on with this guy? He's too good for this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a good point. Sin City, how about you, man? Who needs the love out there?
You know, I'll say it. And at first, when I throw it out there, you guys are going to be like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. But that's a future segment. Anyway, yeah. Where is the love for this elite takeover angle that AEW is running right now? I'm not necessarily talking about the guys involved, but I'm talking about this storyline. And, you know, yes, the Bucks are great at being assholes that will flex their power whenever possible. Jack Perry is doing just the right amount of talking. He's not giving his stupid, shouty promos anymore either. That's one thing that is really huge with him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you've got Okada just being the silent dick and, you know, like giving, he was the one that gave the orders to the Bucks to go up and do the Tony Khan driver. They were going to be content with the EVP trigger, but Okada said, no, you go up and you give him the Tony Khan driver. See, yeah, there you go. With his connection again.
Yeah.
But anyway, like people have shit on it just because it's the Young Bucks. And that seems to be the trendy thing to do online.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, the key thing for me is that I'm actually compelled to tune into AEW next week because of a storyline, not because of a match, but because of a storyline.
Right,
when was the last time that you could actually say that about an AEW show? And also, where's the love for the WWE universe that just, you know, over the last 2 months has definitely learned how to use Google to research incoming wrestlers? I find it extremely hilarious. Where's the fucking love on that?
What you mean, like the bloodline that we knew was coming 3 weeks?
For years, I had to hear about. Oh, well, who are these fuckers that AEW's bringing in?
Right.
No announcement, no video package, nothing. And then the last 2 months, we've introduced two guys into one of your main storylines and the main storyline for the last 3 years. But you know what? Hey, it's all good. Where's the love? Actually, the love is from me to the WWE universe. Welcome to the ranks of being able to use Google.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that is true, man. That there was a lot of shit given about that, but, you know, I don't know.
Turnabout's fair play, man.
Yeah. We know. It is what it is, I guess. All right, let's move over to the fun segment, because I'm sure there has to be some WTFs out there, so let's get right into it. All right, Sin City. Did you find any of them this week?
Yeah. At least. So I have to ask.
Yeah.
I have to ask, do the rankings matter in AEW or not? You know, was that just while Samoa Joe was champion? Because in case you guys are not aware, we did find out who Swerve's first challenger and number one contender for the AEW World Championship would be. Impact. Did you see who that was going to be by any chance?
I didn't.
Okay, great. Let me ask you, since you're going into this completely blind, if you had to name anybody that you think was deserving of a world title shot in AEW, who would you say it would be?
Oh.
Just anybody. Just
Johnny Swinger.
He would probably be more so in line for a title shot than the person who was named. Because Impact, the guy who is the number one contender at Double or Nothing, we last saw as he was getting his yam bag crushed to an oblivion by Adam Copeland and Spike. The number one contender is Christian Cage, hot off of that I Quit match loss to Adam Copeland for the TNT Championship.
Oh, that is
what did he do to earn a world title shot?
Right.
I guess be friends with the Young Bucks. But yeah, what the fuck? Either rankings count or they don't. Don't play this shit nonstop where some months they matter, some months they don't. Blah, blah, blah. It's ridiculous. Be consistent.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, Jay White on Rampage. Yeah. Granted, he beat Dante Martin in a 10-minute solid match, but still, how is he not on Dynamite week in and week out? It's ridiculous. What the fuck are you using him for in these secondary shows? Sure. It blows my mind. I've mentioned him in the world's Where's the Love segment, but it's just a complete what the fuck. And yeah. I know we talked about this last week, at least, you know, part of it in the three count, but why even have a WWE draft anymore? You know, hardly anyone of consequence other than the NXT call-ups happened. No one really major changed shows. And
that's true.
The thing is, I get it that they were trying to leech clout off of the NFL draft, which just so happened to be the same weekend. But I'm sure that they're going to have to, you know, rethink their strategy and do something non-what the fuck worthy next year, or at least so I hope, being a TKO stockholder.
You know, I see Travis is with us, man, and welcome. I got to ask you, I'm actually pretty shocked as why the draft didn't seem so dramatically different. Why did everyone just kind of stay where they're at? What were your thoughts on that? Why are you typing that out, though? Let me move over to you, Rob. What WTFs?
First of all, WTF to Travis, who thought that Jade Cargill should have been on the fucking kiddie show, NXT, which is a fucking tertiary company, you fucking mark. For NXT. Jesus Christ. You wanted to take the best fucking talent in the last 15 years and throw her down with the children? And now you're going to complain about an AEW fucking Saturday show? Where the fuck do you get off?
He's starting this Kendrick Lamar Drake beef now. Okay.
What the fuck? You and Michaels. Yeah, Rob, she's garbage. She's fucking came in like the Flash and won like the goddamn Flash and sold for fucking 35 minutes. Fucking, you'd be happy to get scissored by Jade Cargill. You drink her damn freaking bathwater, for the love of God. And you're going, oh, AEW shit. Yeah, they need work. They put too many. They should have focused on Dynamite. Then they made the fucking little one-hour show that was crap. And then they made the Saturday one, which is not bad. Take the one-hour one, put it off to Saturday, or just get rid of it. Fair enough. Number one, we already said, I already said the what the fuck. And yeah. The Where's the Love with Brian Cage. You've got the patriarchy bullshit. It's a pervy storyline. It's a really, 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 really pedophilic storyline. I'm not even making a joke here. Mm. You get cringe vibes every time that fucker walks out with the kid. Goes, that's my son, but that's not his wife. She just sits there with that resting bitch face the whole time. That being fucking Luchasaurus Killswitch with the resting bitch mask. I mean, this is just the weirdest. Get rid of the mask. Why do you have a mask? Why are you a dinosaur in a pedophile ring? Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what they might as well call the pedophile ring. That's what they are. You know? And the guy comes out with the turtleneck. I mean, it's like the Lovely Bones every time he comes out. It's just fucking weird. And that's the thing. Like, a lot of AEW stuff, it's weird. They do weird fucking shit. And that's what's strange about it. They actually have the structure set up to have some really good storytelling, and they're doing it with the Elites and the EVP Trigger and all of that stuff. I like what they're doing with Okada. Jungle Boy Jack, not Jungle Boy Perry, being just a... Like, why isn't he in a suit? The other three guys are in a suit, so why isn't he dressed up looking a little bit better? He still looks like he went to fucking Gap or H&M clothing, and they ran out of money. Like, it looks like they spent all of their money on those first three fuckers, and then they ran out of money for him. He's wearing a fucking corduroy fucking button-down shirt with a fucking wife beater on underneath, you know? Looks like he raided his dad's coffin on the way out. Like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
What the fuck?
You know,
like, you're elite, but you're dressed up like Baby Gap, you fucking idiot. Like, get your fucking wardrobe together. Like, Jericho was on, not on Busted Open, he's his own show on Sirius, and he was talking about the Jericho Appreciation Society coming up with their costumes and their clothes, and they're like, oh, we're gonna wear all white. It's gonna be like a boy band look where we're trying to all be in sync. It's not like they have a specific wardrobe department. So you're trying to tell me this guy couldn't go to fucking secondhand and get himself a goddamn suit? I would have even settled for a fucking Jungle Boy to come out in elbow pads, you know, like, fucking make the attempt to look decent. And also, if we're trying to look clean cut and like the best of the best of the best, having like the fucking bushy fucking beard thing going on, no. Fucking get a razor on that face. Make yourself look like you, you know, not like a walking fucking nutsack. No offense up above. But wow. If you're supposed to be the elite and you've got like the fucking pube beard going on, like make some attempt to look classy in the goddamn ring. At least try to sell me the whole way around. Like fucking MJF did when they all came out and the Pinnacle all came out, styling and profiling. Remember that? Did Ric Flair ever come out with pubes on his face? No. Never did.
All right, man. Rob lit. Oh man, he's oof. Calm down. Get some water. I
think he's on one.
Yeah, see, I'll drink some water for you, man. Huh?
Well, I got to get this in because my computer's racist today. It doesn't like fucking mulatto people, and it keeps cutting out.
Hey. Yeah, I'm glad you got it in. All right, we all got to be excited for something. So let's see what it is. Let me run over into you. I go with you, Rob, because we don't want your computer to get even more racist towards
yeah.
you.
Here's what I'll say real quick. I hate that I like this. This is like bad masturbation. This is like masturbating to old lady porn. I hate that I like the fucking Bloodline 3.0 storyline. I fucking hate that I like this. That they got people who are not even in the Bloodline. They're going to other fucking islands that nobody knows, you know? Jesus Christ. You know that little, like, island that was just like a lava flow and then some grass grew on it and then five people live there? All right, that's the new Bloodline right now, okay? You know the shit that flew out of the toilets from Samoa and then washed out to make something new? That's the new Bloodline. I like that Paul Heyman is the cuck in the group. He doesn't have, and then when he made, oh, I haven't even spoken to Roman Reigns since, I love Paul Heyman, okay? But what's amazing is he's not even the guy anymore. They're selling it on their own without him.
Yeah.
I love it. Fucking love it. And fucking Tama Tonga took lashes to the back with the cane. And I know I'm talking about a pass, but if he could take that much abuse in a match, imagine what the future matches are going to look like with him. Imagine what that Bloodline Civil War is going to look like. God, I can't wait for that. That is going to be some fucking incredible storytelling and good wrestling, because we're not talking about these WWE guys that just he took a bump and an insegiri and a bump and an insegiri. No, we're talking about guys taking abuse in the ring again. Wrestling is getting good over there, and it's unscripted, scripted. It's polished. You know, it's not Darby Allin like looking over his shoulder five times before he jumps through a plate of glass. It's like, hold up, let me trust fall into this glass. Hey, but there's nobody there. Just let me do it anyway, goddammit. Fucking trust fall into this glass. Why? Well, you don't need to. It's a sting. It's about Sting. I'm loving this.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's interesting to see where they're going with this and how it's all going to come together when Roman does come back. I mean, it's...
Well, Roman has diverticulitis, so if he takes any direct gut shots...
Yeah, I hear you. But it's... yeah. I don't know, man. It's gonna be interesting to see. Was that it before I move over to Sin City?
Or yeah.
Did where you look? Okay.
Good enough.
What are you looking forward to, man?
All right. So I'm looking for how they're gonna fill up the rest of this Double or Nothing card. Obviously, Memorial Day weekend right here in Las Vegas, MGM Grand Garden Arena. I did mention the Swerve and Christian match. I was not happy about the circumstances as far as how we got there. I have no doubt in my mind that this will be an excellent match, though. Elsewhere, Tony Storm and Serena Deeb, Roderick Strong and Will Ospreay for the International Championship, which should be a fucking banger. And then, obviously, you've got Willow and Mercedes for the TBS title. It's a solid base for the show. So now, essentially, they need to flesh out the rest of the card, get, you know, the six or so remaining matches that they're going to get in there. Yeah, I'm going to be there at the show, so I definitely want to get my money's worth.
Why don't they just book her and Chris Statlander as like a Long Island tag team?
Well, so ultimately, I think that we are going to end up seeing the Statlander heel turn, and she's going to be the one that costs Willow the title to Mercedes. Now, I don't think that we're going to get Statlander and Mercedes together. I think, and I've said it on this show, I think the best usage for Mercedes is if you put her with the Elite after she wins the TBS title. I think that she would slot in with them absolutely perfectly.
And then elsewhere, Nicholas and Matthew take her to the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, God. Probably.
Leave it to Rob.
Yeah, but elsewhere, you know, obviously we're going to talk about it in three count, but WrestleMania 2025 is Vegas bound on Easter weekend and 420 weekend. So double holiday weekend. And yeah, we'll talk about that. Stay tuned for three count shortly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm saving my money now.
Please
you should.
Do. Yeah, please do. I got a lot of jokes for that when we get over there. Get to that topic. let's move over into what we got. Oh, best in show for the week. So let's see. Well, I guess when you have a PLE involved, that becomes your best in show, but I could be wrong. So I go with you, Rob. What was your best in show this week? Who you give the crown to?
Well, we also didn't mention TNA. They had their, premium live thing. But no, it's if we're not going with, if we're not going to count, you know, the pay-per-view, then I would have to go Dynamite. But okay. Otherwise, it's Backlash. I mean, it's Backlash was good, you know. The Backlash bar is so low. And they shot it through the roof. They went above like expectations. So,
yeah.
Backlash.
All right. Sin City.
All right. WWE Backlash. in all seriousness,
somewhere out there, Matt Michaels just came.
I just randomly just.
God, it happened.
No, I think that, you know. We talked about most of the matches on this show, but we definitely should talk about that women's three-way match on the show as well. All three women went out there and absolutely crushed it. And quite honestly, I know that everybody's been talking about it, but Tiffany Stratton is going to be a massive star in the company.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely massive star in the company.
But what do you do when Ashley Flair comes back? Good old Charlotte comes back. Everyone's going to get bumped down a rung.
Well, that remains to be seen.
She's going to get that.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting, man, because ultimately, you know, we saw how things were under a previous regime with Charlotte and all of the title reigns that she happened to receive. I don't know if that's going to be the case now that we are in a different era. And quite honestly, I am hoping for something to be slightly different in her presentation when she comes back. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. We'll see where that goes. Normally we have, we're always right up against the time. We actually have a few more minutes. So I wanted to, before getting off the three count, and everyone that is watching us live, when we do exit from this program, jump right back on. You see what the three counts are going to be at the very bottom, and we want to talk about that and discuss that, and we want you to jump on too, because I'm sure you might have some thoughts on that. Dave Meltzer analyzes AEW's ratings decline. I know you got some thoughts on that, and there was some several Bo Dallas references appear in the WWE QR code. So we'll talk about that as well. And, of course, WWE coming to Vegas. Let me ask you, Cincy, while we got a little bit of time, knowing now that WWE's coming to Vegas, does Tony Khan do something to up Double or Nothing for this show? or it's just keep the train maintaining as it is?
I mean, ultimately, he's proven that he could go out and do the biggest things, make the biggest moves, sign the biggest free agents in the business. Mm-hmm. It hasn't translated to selling tickets or people watching his show.
Yeah.
So until they market it right, it doesn't matter. This is what's
going to happen.
That's the absolute shoot with that. Until he learns to market it, nothing.
Yeah.
The weekend of WrestleMania, I happen to know that Tony Khan's going to have his own WrestleMania level event at Sherry's Chicken Ranch in Pahrump. Okay. There's going to be a mud wrestling event.
Exclusive.
Hey, that's right. It's an exclusive. It's a Rob Bosler exclusive. It's going to be Sherry's Chicken Ranch. Okay. They're going to have CJ Perry there. We don't know what she's going to do. But there'll be a donkey involved. Not entirely certain. This is going to bring in more viewers than anyone has ever seen before. We're talking about numbers that piece of shit Paul Levesque only wishes he could have. All right. And it's going to be complimentary blow for the first 1,000 ticket holders.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Right. Eat that triple, bitch.
Oh, my God. TK, man. Let me ask you this. Going back, I had kind of mentioned about we talked about this a little bit, but we noticed that the amount of people that are coming into Vegas for Double or Nothing are also not packing Collision, which is the day before. Is there anything that can be done that could get those fans to move over into Collision and cause that one to sell out?
Maybe announce some matches. Tell people why they should buy a ticket.
Yeah.
They haven't announced anything.
That's so weird, right?
Realistically,
what is the date for Collision and for Double or Nothing?
That would be the 25th is Collision and 26th is Double or Nothing.
Of May.
So you're talking like 20 more days, 19 more days.
Yeah.
We can tell from the tapings. They're so quiet about it.
Yeah, they haven't announced any matches. They haven't even announced like who's going to be here. Although, I mean, obviously, you can figure who's going to be here based off of who's going to be on the pay-per-view. But again, we are in a different time period now. There was a time where AEW coming to a city, people would just buy tickets because, right. Oh, yeah, they're going to put on banger matches. It's going to be a hell of a show. All right, cool. And that has not... That is not the case anymore for one reason or another.
Shout out to Romanowski, free Collision tickets. I'm all for that, bro. Believe me. The minute you hear that, let me know. I'm going to get five of them.
I will say this. If we go back to the days of the Inner Circle and when there was storytelling, when we go back to the point way, way back when MJF was a babyface under Cody Rhodes and there was storytelling there, there was cohesiveness. They were using the old wrestlers to be, you know, corner guys to put over the new guys. And it was a really polished show. Yeah, those tickets sold out. But now we're talking about 2 weeks before a major event. And I have no idea concretely what the story is going to be about. Right. And if you're telling me that Kenny Omega is 2 months out and has nothing to do with this pay-per-view that we're going into, 2 months out, and I have no idea. You brought him out, great. But now you subtracted from whatever you're going to do for this immediate pay-per-view. Why would you do that? Like, you could have had him do that video they were in Winnipeg, and that's where he's from.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But you had Justin Roberts read this long thing. You set up a chair shot, the injury, the this, the that. He's going to go into surgery. You blew your load for something that's not going to happen. Again, Mercedes Moné. What is she doing? I don't know. She shows up. She does her one move. She slides across the screen. Great. It's starting to look like a GIF at this point because she's not doing anything else.
Right.
She could, like, over and over again, that's all she's contributed since she's got here. So there's no mechanism in place. If she said, hey, by the way, I'm the CEO because I actually own partial stake in the company. When I came in here, Tony Khan had to sell some stocks off and do like what they did. Remember back in the day when Ric Flair said he owned half of WWE and he was partners with Vince McMahon? She right. could have done something like that and been a CEO for real. Hey, Charmaine. But she didn't do that. She's CEO because it just looks cool because she's Mercedes. But they didn't bring her out with any money. She doesn't walk out with stacks. She doesn't right. do anything. She
Bro, wears... that's another reason why she needs to be in the elite so that she right. can be the CEO. Well, like it oh, slots yeah. in perfectly.
They blew that opportunity because now she's just a watered down version of Sasha Banks. So you're yeah. doing
yeah. one way that you could solidify that is actually have her, once she turns heel and joins up with Matthew and Nicholas and Okada and Jack, to, as part of her promo, say, yeah, I've been saying I'm the CEO. It's actually in my contract. And she shows her AEW contract that she's actually the CEO of the
but company. But I want to add to something you said. If you go down that route, you don't have Statlander turn on Willow Nightingale. What you do is you have Mercedes Moné do the Eddie Guerrero and set her up to get her ejected from ringside. And then later on, Statlander could, you know, do whatever, you know. But that would be the best way to do it, because if you're going to have – you can't have two heels, because you're not right. going to bring Statlander into the elite.
Right.
You know, and Stokely yeah. Hathaway already went on that kind of vague – maybe Stokely screws her over, maybe. I'm kind of annoyed with him because he serves no purpose, really. But
he can drop some fucking one-liners, though.
Yeah.
That he said, what was it, this past week, outside of my own actions, what did I do to deserve this? What?
Now, hold on. I want to express my ignorance in something, and maybe you guys mentioned it, or we're going to talk about later, Eddie Kingston.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So that's not just me.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. That's news to me. So
because he still was holding a belt last I checked.
Yeah, well, he's holding the New Japan Strong Championship, but
Yeah.
I haven't heard that at all.
Rumors.
Well, while you guys are getting ready to figure that out and let us know what you heard or not, hey, thanks for everyone for watching. We're getting ready to go over into three count. If you're following us, you should get the notification to hop right back on, because we got three things we want to talk about. We want to first talk about WrestleMania coming to Vegas. We also want to talk about the idea of what Dave Meltzer thinks about these AEW number declines. And of course, Bo Dallas, is he getting ready for his return? We want to know all your thoughts in that, and we want to see the comments.
Even Joe Hendry. Oh, wait, sorry.
So with that, please hop right back on. We appreciate you hanging out with us. And until then, we'll do this again next week. Although I don't think I'll be here because it'd be Mother's Day. And my mother and wife would be upset if I'm sitting up here talking to you guys. So,
oh, and Eddie Kingston's still on AEW. He's still on their roster.
Of course. All right. Hop back on, guys. See you in a minute. Take care. And have to throw that in. So there you go. Peace out.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.